I don't think I saw it. Resend it to me, though. I want to see it.
All right.
Bringing voices to power. I do not own the rights to this music. Bringing voices to power network. www.thechildsupporthustle.com. Catch the Child Support Hustle Show Saturdays on the Bringing the Voices to Power Network.
All right, in this episode of the Child Support Hustle Show, myself and Kenya Rockman, we welcome Dr. Umar Johnson. Dr. Johnson will be talking with me and Kenya Rockman about child support, and most importantly, saving black boys from education and ADHD fraud. Dr. Umar will be in Montgomery, Alabama on Sunday, July the 8th at the Alcazar Shrine Auditorium. That's in Montgomery, Alabama. And the tickets are available online. They're $22. There's going to be more at the door. So y'all need to get on out and hear the brother, what he has to say. He is leading the cause in the struggle and the fight and the war against our black babies. Okay, welcome to the show, Dr. Umar.
Peace and love, black man. Glad to be on the show. Glad to be coming to Alabama and looking forward to my very first ever visit to Montgomery, Alabama.
Make sure you see that Lynch Memorial while you're down there. I haven't seen it yet, but a lot of my friends have. But I researched it a lot. There's also a William Eccles that was lynched in 1920 in Clark County. But that's another subject. Brother, we're glad to have you on. Just recently, over in Alabama, in the northern part of the state, everything.
You're going in and out. You're going in and out on me, good brother. Your voice is going in and out.
Okay, how's this? It's better?
You're clear now, 100% clear right now.
Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, we just had an incident in Huntsville, Alabama, where a lot of parents have been complaining about the way they're running their IPs and their special ed programs, and it's actually cost the city a lot of money. And the complaint is that the schools are too quick to lawyer up. They're too quick to decide what's in the best interest of them and not the students. Could you tell us a little bit about how this educational welfare works and how they target our black youth?
Without question, let me first of all say what you are discussing right now is actually the reason why I'm coming to Montgomery. And that's the reason why every black parent and every black person that cares about African children needs to be at 555 Eastern Boulevard on July 8th. Three quick facts. Number one, let's be clear. There is no price too high to pay for the extermination of black people. Let me say that one more time. There's no price too high to pay for the extermination of black people. What do I mean by that? I mean that when you say it's costing the school district a lot of money, it's costing the state a lot of money in lawsuits and due process cases for parents bringing complaints against them, that doesn't mean anything. Because their money isn't worth anything, and they have a lot of it to spend, and there's no price too high to pay to miseducate, incarcerate, exterminate, and medicate black boys. So let's not deal with the money, because they don't mind paying it. So that's number one. Number two.
That's right.
Parents could make this fight a whole lot easier if they would organize together and fight as a group. Most of the in Alabama's public schools, just like Pennsylvania's public schools, just like Chicago's and Detroit's and L.A. and Houston's public school, is due to the fact that black parents are disorganized. If they fought together, they would be more successful. Let me give you an example. Let's say you got one parent whose child has been in special education for, let's say, 3 to 5 years, and there's no evidence that the special ed is benefiting the child. That's one parent's fight. But what if that parent took time to reach out to other parents and find out who else had a similar problem? Now you got 5, 6 parents with the same issue. It can no longer be blamed on a single parent's opinion. You now have a class action issue and systematic accusation of racism. Systematic. We want to always make our concerns systematic so they have to change the system. As long as we allow the concerns to be based on one individual parent, it can easily be dismissed as an oxymoron or just a case of bad luck. The third thing, when I come to Montgomery, I'm going to be looking for parents and members of the community, it doesn't matter if you have a child or not, to help me organize the Montgomery, Alabama chapter of the National Independent Black Parent Association, an organization I started 2 years ago to organize parents in every school district in America to fight against academic racism in the 6 key areas of special ed, school policy, school finance, parent advocacy, social support, okay, and there's a few other areas as well. So Sunday, July 8th is going to be hot and heavy, and we need all of Black Montgomery to be in the building.
We definitely need that, and I want to send a shout-out and a call-out to all of the grassroots, other grassroots leaders here in North Alabama. We need to tomorrow up here in North Alabama. I know Montgomery's only 4 hours away. We go down there to a lot of concerts and a lot of other stuff that we do, y'all. We need to go down there and support the brother because what he's saying has to do with the next generation. If this generation coming up is destroyed, what else do we have? Now, Dr. Johnson, I want to get back to some of the other areas that you do, but since this is the Child Support Hustle Show, and I'm going to let Kenya say a little bit about the Child Support Hustle Show, then I want you to tell us your perspective on, since we're talking about the community, what's your perspective when African-Americans get themselves involved with child support? Can you tell us a little bit about the child support hustle? Then we're going to let Dr. Umar tell us his perspective on the whole child support thing.
Oh, sure. Thanks for coming on, Dr. Umar. I really appreciate your time. We are an organization of advocates, and we help parents pretty much navigate the system, fight for their rights as they go through the system. We feel that the system is unconstitutional, illegal, denying parents their rights, robbing parents of their money, of their freedom, and other things. And while we're doing that, we're fighting for a reform, if not abolishment to the system. We're doing that in any way that we can nationally.
Okay, what's your perspective on the whole Black family getting involved with the state organized child support system?
Sure, I'll give it to you. Let me first say that it costs money to raise children, and we all know that. It definitely costs money to raise children. We all know that. And if a mother has an able-bodied male as a father, who is able to find work and who has work and who chooses not to help her financially provide for the child, in my opinion, it is no shame on that woman to seek recourse through the child support system if the man can provide and chooses not to. But what I do have a big problem with is when the man is unable to provide and the woman still takes the man into the child support system. We have a situation where so many Black men in the United States of America are unable to find meaningful labor. They cannot become gainfully employed as a result of their engagement via the criminal justice system. when you have a man who's trying to do right, who's looking for a job, cannot find it, and still ends up in child support court, where his inability to find a job is now criminalized, and he can now be put in prison because the system, the white power structure of America, refuses to give him a job, that is criminal. And as far as I am concerned, that is a human rights abuse. And as someone who works in the prisons, I can tell you, one of the fastest growing, if not the fastest growing reason for black men, especially young black males, to be retained in the criminal injustice system is due to a failure to pay child support when they are unable to find gainful employment. And this is one of the biggest reasons why I take issue with black people who love Bill Clinton and love Barack Obama. Let me say this again. This is a big reason why I take issue with black people who love Barack Obama and love Bill Clinton, our last two Democratic presidents. And the reason I take issue with it is because Bill Clinton, when he was president of the United States, in 1994, he gave us the Bill Clinton crime bill, which did three things. Gave out mandatory minimum sentences for nonviolent drug-related offenses, gave out a three strikes and you are out, okay, federal law, kicked millions of black women off of welfare, and the other thing that it did that a lot of people do not know because the legislation did not particularly include this, and that was Bill Clinton criminalized child support. It was Bill Clinton with the 1994 crime bill that criminalized child support that made it punishable by felony and made it possible to lock up a black man who wasn't able to pay child support, even though the white racist American power structure did not give him the chance to find a job.
That Dr. Umar is speaking facts. Now, I totally agree with you on that. I wasn't a big fan of Bill Clinton anyway, because, and also his wife as well. They're so crazy about Hillary. But remember Hillary and calling black kids and black kids all these names, you know, like they're monsters, like they're some type of super predator machine. She called them super predators. But also, too, Barack Obama, you know, I wasn't – He was a good person to me, but when it comes down to here in Alabama, where he did not pardon the former governor of Alabama, Don Sigmund, who wanted a education lottery, when him and Eric Holder didn't do that, they fell out with me then. I just can't say he was among the greats, because that really hurt African-Americans here in Alabama what happened. Now, Dr. Umar is also, you're going to be talking about the school to prison pipeline. But first, let me check this and see if we got a caller. We got a caller on the line. Are you calling or are you just listening? Well, I guess they're just listening to the show. All is good. Dr. Umar, tell us about the school. How would you propose to stop the school to prison pipeline that seems to be going on in all our communities?
Well, in my work, and I've been in the field of school psychology for 20 years. I've been studying mental health since I was 18 years old. I am a certified school psychologist. I am a formerly nationally certified school psychologist, a credential that I voluntarily gave up because I didn't believe that the National Association of School Psychologists was doing enough to fight against the school-to-prison pipeline, the mass drugging of black boys. So I was nationally certified, and I voluntarily gave up the credential. But nonetheless, I am still certified school psychologist, doctor of clinical psychology. And in my 20 years of work, I've found that there's six stages, a six-stage cycle of death that the American miseducation machine has created. And the reason I refer to it as a machine is because it doesn't have emotions. I refer to it as a machine because it operates 24 hours a day. I refer to it as a machine because it cares not about the economic or political or family context of the black boy that stands in front of it. In other words, the miseducation machine don't care if your mother is a doctor. It doesn't care if your father is a lawyer. It doesn't care if you live in the suburbs. It doesn't care if your father's in jail, if you come from a single-parent home. The machine operates irregardless of the type of black boy that it is dealing with. And the six stages are number one. Deliberate miseducation. And we're going to get into this specifically and particularly on July the 8th in Montgomery. The first stage is miseducation. It is on purpose. The public schools miseducate black kids on purpose. They have to. You may ask, why do they have to? Because all of America is based on white privilege and black disadvantage. Let me say that again. All of America is based on white privilege and black disadvantage. So if you want to make sure the black boy can never challenge the white boy for political economic control of this society, you must make sure the black boy is miseducated. So I want to be clear to your listening audience. This miseducation has nothing to do with the black boy listening to rap. It has nothing to do with him living in poverty. It has nothing to do with his pants sagging. It has nothing to do with his father being in jail. It has nothing to do with his mother being on public assistance. It must miseducate in order to keep white people in charge. Number two, special education. The deliberate evaluating and misdiagnosing of black children with learning disabilities, most of which you cannot prove and that they do not have. We're going to get into that more in Montgomery because I'm going to make sure all of your parents understand exactly what a learning disability is, what a learning disability is not, what a psychological evaluation is, what a psychological evaluation is not. Stage number three, psychiatric medication. Once again, the deliberate diagnosing of black boys with disruptive behavior disorders. And by disruptive behavior disorders, we are talking about ADHD. We are talking about conduct disorder. We are talking about oppositional defiant disorder. And we are talking about disruptive behavior disorder, which leads to the prescribing of dangerous psychiatric meds from white pediatricians and white psychiatrists who do not care about the mental health of black children. Drugs that include Ritalin, Adderall, Concerta, Cyclor, and Medidate. Ritalin, Adderall, Concerta, Cyclor, and Medidate. And we're going to go into the specific side effects of these drugs with all of our parents in Alabama on Sunday, July 8th. Stage five, juvenile incarceration. So first they miseducate, then they special educate, then they psychiatrically medicate, and then they want to juvenile incarcerate. When the black boy begins to fight back against the machine, when the black boy begins to react to the racist miseducation that he's receiving, he's now considered delinquent. He goes to a juvenile detention center, or he goes to a so-called alternative school, which is nothing but a prison preparation farm. When he comes out of that, that takes us to stage five, psychological frustration and alienation. The black boy is now depressed. All he wants to do is fight. He wants to join a gang. He wants to smoke weed. He wants to sell dope. Why? Because he tried to do it the right way, and the system rejected him. He tried to get a decent education, and instead he was marginalized, okay, and destroyed. And then that takes us to stage six, the last and final stage, premature extermination. One out of every four black boys will end up either dead or incarcerated by their 25th birthday, normally at the hands of another black male suffering the same debilitating effects of the school-to-prison pipeline, six-stage cycle of death.
That's and I can back you 100% on that. As being a former supervisor at a treatment facility, I saw a lot of kids being over-medicated. They were over-medicated. They were strong-willed. And tell me why a lot of them in there that supposedly we had two on in our hospital that were juvenile delinquent centers. And we had half sex offenders and half what they call psychs. The ones that were psychs are the ones you're talking about. They were very intelligent. It's just that it's like the classroom could not hold them. The teacher did not have time to reach that particular student. So, okay, we'll shoot them over here to special education. But they were very intelligent. It's just like there's no time to reach these people. So the easy way out is to say ADHD or oppositional defiant and then throw the medicine in there and the school gets some extra money from the special education fund. It's nothing but educational welfare at these schools at the expense of our black children. And anybody else
that not only that, exactly. And we need to be clear about something. I need everybody to be clear about something. This is not a function of economics and finance. And what I mean to say by that, you have some people and a lot of coonish black scholars, coonish black state-approved scholars who would argue that if we paid the white teachers more, who argue that if we pay the white teachers more, they would do a better job. I not only speak to you as a certified school psychologist and a doctor of clinical psychology and a child therapist for nearly 20 years, I also speak to you as a certified school principal and a former school administrator. And speaking as a former principal, I can tell you that I don't care how much money you give these racist, dispathetic white female teachers, they will never properly educate our children. They have no love for black boys, they have no concern for black girls, and they have no regard for black parents. And we will never fix this problem as long as we let the same people that put us in slavery be responsible for our children's future.
You can't do that. When you do that, you set yourself up for failure. Just like here, since you're here in Alabama, I was telling people at the grassroots level and beyond that when we had all this stuff going on with the racist rebel flag, I tell people I don't give a shit about that racist flag. If you studied and learned your own black history, you got tens of thousands of years of great history, signs, and symbols way before a loser at the flag. And I tell people, don't get mad at it. Learn your own history, and you would even think about this little insignificant gesture. And it's probably one of our themes or signs anyway, if you go back further enough.
But here's the question, though. The question becomes, and I'm glad you brought that point up, because that is 4th of July weekend, the weekend following the 4th of July, and I'm going to deal with the 4th of July syndrome. In fact, I'm speaking in Atlanta Saturday night of the 7th, and then Montgomery Sunday afternoon, the 8th. I'm going to deal with the 4th of July syndrome. See, the reason why that even matters to us in the first place, my brother, is because black people still want to be accepted by white people. See, part of the reason why we have not yet liberated ourselves is because we are psychologically confused. We want liberation, but we want participation. You can't have liberation and participation. If you want liberation, you want the right to do your own thing. You want the right to create your own black reality. You want the right to build your own African-centered political and economic empire if you want liberation. But a lot of our people say they want liberation from racism, but at the same time they want to participate in racism's reality. You can't have it both ways. This is why you see black people will be at the African American Festival with a red, black, and green flag, and then on July 4th, they'll be at the park with white folks eating pork chops, swinging the red, white, and blue flag, pledging allegiance to the flag, the same flag that dehumanized black people. And on July 4th of 1776, we were still enslaved. On July 4th, 1776, we were still enslaved. So how do you celebrate the independence of your slave master when he wouldn't even give you your freedom for almost another 100 years?
That's exactly correct. But we have people celebrating just like Columbus. They'll celebrate Columbus Day. I had a black person telling me about Columbus Day, and I was like, that was a catastrophe to the Indians and everybody else. Several races suffered because of Columbus. I can't celebrate that. He didn't bring nothing but gonorrhea and syphilis over here to the land.
And we got to be clear about something. By the way, most of the STDs that black people are exposed to in the United States were passed to us through Europeans during the Maafa, and many of those diseases came to the European by way of sexual intimacy with animals. There's multiple scientists who've agreed that gonorrhea and chlamydia evolved as a result of sexual contact between human beings and animals in the European culture, and that they were introduced into Africans by way of the transatlantic slave trade. But again, when you say you're African-American, that's why I don't like using African-American. I say it only to establish a certain type of a place in time, but I don't like to use the word as to be indicative of a honest and true account of who we are. We're not African-American. You can't be half God, half devil, half slave, half master, half rape victim, half rapist. You cannot amalgamize the African and the American. You can't. But when black people say, I am an American, when you say, I am an American, that creates a psychological mindset where you think, feel, and behave just like white folks. It creates a mindset where you think, feel, and behave just like white folks. So when we constantly tell our children that they are American, whenever an African says that I am an American, it automatically creates a European consciousness. Just by saying I am American, it creates a European consciousness, and that European consciousness is what allows us and motivates us to behave and operate daily like coons.
And there's a lot of them here in Alabama, and you're coming into the heart of this is coon country around here. But there's some knowledge there and some jewels you're going to drop that they definitely can use. But I'm impressed by – I can tell you this right here. I nominated a friend of mine, and he's going to be honored for the second annual Harriet Tubman Award coming up this Saturday. And it's people like him who follow you, who study you, and try to pass on everything that you're out here teaching. It's people like him in the community and other millennials who are waking up because of you, who want to learn more about their African identity. Now, I want to tell everybody, if you want to get tickets to go down there at 555 Eastern Boulevard in Montgomery, Alabama, the tickets are $22 online. It's going to be more. And you want any more information about this, you can just call down at Montgomery at 334-223-4242, or you can check out Dr. Umar Johnson. eventb.com, or just go to drumarmontgomery@gmail.com. You want to get any other information about attending down there. Kenya, we still got you on the line?
Yes, I'm here. Just listening.
Okay. Yeah, I was just saying, I was thinking about the trip down there. I had some other things planned, but I definitely want to make it. And I'm glad, Kenya, you're going to get to check that thing out down there with Dr. Umar. He's really going to bring some knowledge, and we're hoping to get him up here in North Alabama. Dr. Umar, is there any other books or anything you got coming out or people should be on the lookout for besides this July 8th Sunday event?
Yes, sir. Well, of course, everyone who comes out to Montgomery on July 8th, and because I don't get a chance to come to Alabama often, which is something I want to change. I was planning on doing Birmingham and Montgomery. But the problem was the theater, the Carver Theater in Birmingham that I normally speak at. I spoke there with David Banner about 2 years ago. They're currently being renovated. So if anyone in Birmingham has any recommendations on venues that I can rent to make my Birmingham return, then please let me know. I also want to speak in the Tuskegee area because I've never spoken in Tuskegee. And also the Mobile, Alabama area, I'm also in need of venue recommendations there. But as I was about to say, since I don't get a chance to come to Alabama often, I'm really asking for the entire state to come on up to Montgomery because it's worth it. If you have kids, if you work with kids, if you love kids, if you care about the future of our people, then no matter where you live in Montgomery, it's worth the drive. I've already gotten emails and texts from brothers and sisters who are going to be coming from surrounding states. So if people can make the drive from surrounding states, there's absolutely no excuse for brothers and sisters not to make the drive within the state. And let me also say that the event is absolutely free for children. So parents cannot use cost as an excuse. If the child is 17 years or younger, you do not need a ticket at all. you can simply show up to the school. Excuse me, show up to the event. No cost for children, and also no cost for elders 65 and older.
Dr. Umar, I was wondering, are you going to be anywhere in Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, by chance, or in Austin, Texas, anytime soon?
I will be in Dallas. In fact, let me give you guys the dates because this may help in terms of what I already have scheduled. So I Sure. I will be at the University of the Bahamas Saturday, June the 30th. That's my next speaking event, University of the Bahamas, Saturday, June 30th. And then I will be in Atlanta, Georgia, Saturday, July the 7th. And then I will be in Montgomery, Alabama, the next day, Sunday, July the 8th. And then I am in Suffolk, Virginia, which is one of the seven cities in Hampton Roads area, Suffolk, Virginia, on Sunday, July the 15th. And then I will be in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, Friday, August the 31st. Elizabeth City, Raleigh, North Carolina, Sunday, September the 2nd. Shreveport, Louisiana for the first time. Shreveport, Louisiana, Friday, September the 14th. Dallas, Texas, Sunday, September the 16th. Now, let me also say, if anybody needs a copy of the flyer, they can definitely reach out to the good sister Shamericals Hosting, and they can call her or email her. But they can also email or call me, too. They can text me for the flyer. My number, my personal cell number, they can text me, 215-989-9858. 215-989-9858. Once more, 215-989-9858. That is my cell. My email address, drumarjohnson. drumarjohnson. Dr. Umar Johnson at yahoo.com. That's my email address. Let me also say, if you have parents who need a personal one-on-one consultation regarding their children, special ed, education, mental health, it doesn't matter. Any parent struggling with their child's education or mental health, I charge $50 for one-on-one consultation. They can text me and email me for that. Let me also say, for brothers and sisters who have never been to Africa and would like to go home to Africa, I'm hosting the 5th annual Dr. Umar Africa Tour to Egypt and Ethiopia, July 22nd to August the 6th. Egypt and Ethiopia, July 22nd, August the 6th, and they still have time to register. They can text me for the details. And last but not least, most importantly, I'm hosting the first annual Dr. Umar Course of African Philosophy. First annual Dr. Umar Course of African Philosophy, where you will earn a certificate in revolutionary Pan-African nationalism studies and philosophy. One Saturday, once a month, from September to August. The first meeting will be Saturday, September the 9th in Philadelphia, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., one Saturday for 12 months. If you're interested in that, you must email me an autobiographical letter of interest, and you must email that to Dr. Umar Johnson at yahoo.com. Spaces are filling up, and I'm only taking 50 students. You must be at least 18. You can be as old as 800. If you really want to study Garveyism, classical Pan-Africanism, and contemporary revolutionary Pan-African nationalism, the books, the texts, the articles, it's going to be a powerful class, and it's going to last the entire year.
It sounds like a good deal. We're not gonna give up on getting you up to Huntsville, Alabama too. We got to have you in Huntsville, Alabama. We just had the Child Support Hustle Town Hall in Huntsville, Alabama, and it went off well. If you're willing to come to Alabama, I will secure the venue.
Let's talk about that off the air.
We will do that. So with that, Kenya, you want to say anything? I also want to encourage our listeners to visit www.thechildsupporthustle.com, and also visit me at empoweringstrategies.net. What we're doing with our nonprofit at Risk Youth Community and at Risk Youth. So with that, Dr. Umar, we're gonna take you out with this, brother, and we're going to keep sharing, and we're going to keep telling everybody about the event. And I would encourage everybody to visit drumarjohnson.evenb.com to get your ticket. Once again, the $22 online, is going to be more at the door. Dr. Umar, it's been a pleasure having you, and I look forward to the event.
Thanks, Marcus.
Thank you. Thank you.